The Old Testament reading for the Festival of the Holy Trinity is from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." This is the word of the Lord.
Blessed are you, O Lord, who beholds the deep, and who dwells between the cherubim.
Blessed are you, O
The epistle is from Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Blessed are you, O God of our fathers, and greatly to be praised and glorified forever.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. The epistle reading from Romans 11 today on this Trinity Sunday sums up well your ability to understand and grasp the Holy Trinity. We heard it just as I read a minute ago. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. So what does this mean? You can't understand God on your own. And there's a deep, really theological reason this is the case. He's God, and you're not. And not only that, but you're a sinner, and God is holy. We heard that juxtaposition in the Old Testament reading, as Isaiah is a man of unclean lips, dwelling among an unclean people, and here is God who is holy, holy, holy. And that's who God is. And yet, this is also the same God who says today, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And really, that's part of the mystery that is the mystery of God. And it's the mystery of the gospel. It's quite something to think about the Lord, who is the creator of all things, who is eternally one God in three persons, and yet he's the very same God who came down from heaven, lived a perfect life, died on Good Friday, and rose on Easter Sunday. It's incomprehensible that God is the same God who came to save the very people who sinned against him, by taking on their sin, dying in their place, suffering God's wrath for them. But you see, this unsearchable, unknowable God is knowable through Jesus. The unknowable God reveals himself to you through his word. You know God through the person of Christ and him crucified. The Athanasian Creed is a beautiful creed. Like all the creeds, you can go through line by line. Every single one of those things confesses biblical truth. In the Athanasian Creed, we confess the Holy Trinity, and then it comes back then into the incarnation of Jesus and his work for us. And there's a reason for that. You know God through Christ. You know his redemption. You have the God who has saved you. And so the preaching of Jesus to Nicodemus in the gospel reading is this image of the crucified Lord, the God who came to save his people, who to give them a new birth, a birth from above and into his eternal kingdom. And this is where then that epistle reading and the truth that it confesses is seen through the lens of the gospel reading. So here then, Nicodemus in John 3 comes to Jesus by night, and he wanted to talk. He didn't want to talk about the latest gossip, who was marrying who in Galilee, or what ye old Galilean baseball team was doing. I don't know if they had one, maybe, who knows. But he had something else in mind. He had some questions. He had questions about the things of God. And he wanted answers from this teacher, who was going around and causing quite the chatter. And so in this encounter, Nicodemus does indeed get some answers. But it's on a different level than what he was thinking. Nicodemus is not understanding at first what's going on. Because that's the thing about God. The mind of God is unknowable and it must be revealed to men. And so Jesus tells Nicodemus the same thing when he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." And really, that gets to a point in a nutshell. The Holy Trinity is an article of faith. We confess it. It's a mystery. It's something, the minute it's our tempting, we speak about things that we understand and know, and we are tempted at times to want to think that we can somehow grasp the very nature of God. You often hear people start off a sentence, "Well, the Holy Trinity is like," and automatically go, "No, it's not. The Holy Trinity is not like these things. He is the triune God." There are mysteries in this world that we just don't know, too, as well. Decaf coffee, the duck-billed platypus. I don't know. Those are weird. But the Holy Trinity is who our God is, and he reveals himself. And it doesn't always mean we fully understand it. But this is how it is with God. And that goes to show us that we can't have any knowledge of him on our own. The Bible does tell us that we have a general knowledge of God as part of being creatures of him, that we know that there's a higher power, we know that there's something bigger than ourselves, and that we're answerable to it. But it's only through that divine revelation, only through that word of God, does the Lord reveal things to us about himself, how we know who the true God is, what he does, who he is, and how we know him. Apart from this word, we're left in the dark. We're left up to our own devices. We fashion false gods in our image and our likeness that can be made to fit our own personal agendas, our own thoughts, our own ways, which are up to scrutiny as opposed to the inscrutable judgments of God. And these gods that we come up with, they go by many names, or they may even have to try to have this name of the one true God, but they've been changed. They've been manipulated to the point that it's so far from the scriptures, so far from what God does actually reveal about himself, that it's laughable. Because God is God and we are not. And there's nothing that we can do about it. So salvation isn't found in this general knowledge of God. The only way we have a saving knowledge and a saving faith in the true God is through his word, through the scriptures. And this is the Catholic faith. That is what has been handed down to us, the wholeness of who God reveals himself. And unless a man confess it, the Holy Spirit, he will perish eternally. But the fact that God does reveal himself to us through his word is nothing short of gracious. He doesn't leave us to ourselves. He doesn't leave us in wonder. He doesn't leave us scratching our head. He doesn't leave us searching. St. Peter tells us no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God used his creatures. He used men to write what was revealed to them in order that God's people would know him in a divine and saving way. God's people would know God personally through this inspired word. and God came down from heaven, as he revealed through that same word, as he promised to save his people. An unknown God, an impersonal God, doesn't do that. False gods require that man earn his redemption in some way, shape, or form. Not so with the Holy Trinity. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is God revealed in the person of the Son. So when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night in John 3, he wasn't just talking to some rabbi. They weren't just sitting around talking about the things of God in some fashion, but he was actually talking to God himself. And so the content of their discussion is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. So Jesus takes the discussion and he brings it into heaven. He reveals to Nicodemus and to us what this all means. He shows us who we are and what must happen to us in order to inherit eternal life. And Nicodemus didn't get it at first. He was still thinking about earthly things. But Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So to inherit eternal life, to know God as he truly is, means that man must have a birth that comes from above. That word born again also can be translated as born from above. He has to be killed and rise again to a new life, into a new kingdom. He needs to be washed clean by the water and the Spirit. And the only way that this can happen is if God himself does it. Man can't bring about his new birth by his own decisions, by his own knowledge, by his own kindness, by his own obedience, by his own will, by his own desires, or by his own anything. Only God can give us a new birth. And how he does it is through his appointed means that he reveals to us how he works. And Jesus says it's by water and the Spirit. It's baptismal. Now, does this make sense in our minds with our understanding? No. Which explains why so many people try to rationalize this away and turn it into something that we can grasp or have a say in. It's more logical for us to think that we are Christians because we make a decision for God, as opposed to the Lord working through water and the Word. But at the end of the day, that thinking of men only produces doubt, confusion, and no real comfort that God gives when he places it all in his hands. And so the wonderful thing about all of this, as we gather on this festival of the Holy Trinity, is that this unsearchable, incomprehensible mind of God is revealed to you in Christ, and you know about God, and what you know about God is proclaimed to you, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You have Jesus. This is who the true God is, and he is your God. And what is foolishness to the world, God has accomplished your salvation. And the manner by which you are redeemed and have eternal life is by the Son living and dying for you in your place. And so, yes, in our sin, we can't comprehend God. We can't deserve our salvation. But it's the Lord and by his grace who has accomplished all of these things for us, and that's profoundly divine. The Holy Trinity's will and purpose is to save you, and he has done it. And in faith, which is also God's gift, it's a part of it's his grace towards you, that you have all that your God has done. And the antiphon for this day says it beautifully. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown mercy to us. And so in this mercy, then, God leads us in faith to do what? To worship him, to proclaim him, to confess him. And how wonderful it is to have this. We cry out, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And God's response is not to strike you down. It's not to just sit and look on and leave you in your sin, but it's instead to say with the angel, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt has taken away. Your sin is atoned for." And he has done this as you are baptized, as you hear his word, as you feast at his supper, as he says to you this very day, "Your sin is forgiven. You are my child. You have eternal life." The Lord has done wondrous things. And as his people, we confess him here in this and every place. And the Christian mind then talks about the things of God. And these are far greater than any idea of men. We grasp and we talk about these things of God which are eternal, and even as God's word endures forever. We give thanks to God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one who has created, redeemed, and sanctified us. So on this day, see who your God is and rejoice in his great mercy that he has towards you. God is your Father. The Son has saved you. The Holy Spirit has called you. He's preaching to you. He's working through his word and sacraments this very day. This triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is your Lord. And it's your God who has given you a new birth from above and into his kingdom. The Holy Spirit's the Holy Trinity's name is placed upon you, and you have eternal life. And so, as high as God's ways may be in this life, and as we may never fully grasp and understand the mystery that is the Holy Trinity, you still have all that he has done. It's yours in your God-given faith. So hear this word today and confess it faithfully in all that you say and do. Join together with the saints gathered in this place today and those with the same word and confession around the world and who have gone before you in this faith. Hear your Lord speak to you. Confess your sin, repent, and have the forgiveness of Christ. Join together with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven and that song of Isaiah, the prophet, that he heard as you sing this day. Enter into the holy, holy, holy presence of God as you hear his word and kneel at this altar to receive the very true body and blood of Christ given and shed for you. The Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit is here, and his name is upon you, and you have eternal life. You are his, and he is yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.